All right, so I think maybe we'll just go down the line, and I'm going to have you go ahead and introduce yourself, your name, and spouse, children, all that stuff.
Okay, there's a lot of you that I don't know, so I'm sorry for that. First of all, whoever made food today, thank you so much, holy cow. Like, endless coffee and breakfast buffet are, like, really bad for me. I almost cleaned up the table back there, but I didn't quite. My name is Marshall Schrader. I still feel like I'm relatively new to Bethany, although we've been here for about 5 years. And you said everybody's well, so that's a relative term at this stage of the season, you know. So I still feel relatively new, so that's one of the reasons why I don't know a lot of you, I hope. And some of you I know are not Bethany directly, so they don't feel quite so bad about that either. So it's great to meet you, but you should know my wife. Like, she's like the star of our show, so if you only get to meet one of us, for sure meet her. I will say that. So we have 3 grown children. We have son, daughter, son. They're all married, and they're all in Illinois right now, which is really nice, but we have 10 grandkids, and number 11 is due at the end of July. So we're super excited. Those grandkids go from 7 to 1. So that's what our life is about. We love babies. So keep them coming.
So my name is Bob Castle, and we've been at Bethany for, what year is this? About 26 years. So it's been a while. My wife is Marky. And I'm very similar to Marshall. She's definitely the preferred one. Quite a few of you guys know her. So, but we've been, like I said, we've been here for about 26 years. We have 3 boys, and each of them are married. Christy's one of the daughter-in-laws. So 2 of the boys and families are here. That gives us 5 grandkids in the area, and 1 down in Texas with 2 boys down there. So up until Evie, it was all boys. Really thankful for Evie, but also scared to death.
I think we can all say our wives are the preferred ones. So, my name is Daniel Schaefer, and I get to serve on staff here at Bethany. My wife's name is Lindsay, and we have next week a 1-year-old. Named Ava, and then 1 on the way due in July. So we are where many of you either currently are or have been in the last few years. We got married about 6 years ago and moved here from the West Coast in 2020 and have been here for about 4.5 years.
I'm Eric Andrus. So my wife, Janae, and I have been coming to Bethany for, I think, 17 years now. So many of you know her. I know maybe half of y'all, but yeah, Janae looks fondly back at her days in this group, and it was really vital for her. You know, she was telling me that this morning, and a lot of good memories and the relationships that she formed here are really lasting, and she's very thankful for that. So it's encouraging. Just to see y'all doing your thing and enjoying each other. This is like I have a heart for this now because I've seen it firsthand. Our oldest is going to be 15 next week. She's in driver's ed now, which is, sounds like I'm not telling you the truth when I say that. But we've got a 12-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl. So we're sort of in a different phase now, which is really good. But looking back at this group was so healthy, and I'm just glad to see you guys taking time out of an impossible schedule. You guys are doing the most important job in the world. So thank you for inviting us. I don't know what you're all thinking by inviting us, but we're glad to be here, and hopefully we can encourage you. So.
All right. Well, let's get started with our first question. This one's for Eric and Bob. So how do you encourage your family to rest on Sundays?
So Yeah, this has been challenging, but we have, yes, I signed up for this one because it's actually kind of a new thing for us to really be intentional about this. So we just got done reading a book. I usually don't recommend books, but you might want to write this one down. Okay. It's called TechWise Family. Okay. And I think Andy Crouch is the author. But so I actually read this with the kids. We just might want to skip chapter 7 with the kids. But it's one of the things that we really tried to take away from that was just putting the screens down wholeheartedly on Sunday. We almost did this like an experiment. And I asked the kids a few weeks ago, like, how do you think this is going? And they're like, yeah, at first it's kind of hard, like, because you kind of, you know, we just don't have anything to do, you know, maybe they'll open the laptop and play a computer game. Nothing wrong with that necessarily, it's just that sort of habit of going to entertainment is really, in the book, there's sort of this distinction between like resting and leisure. And so, you know, I asked them how it was going. They're like, yeah, first it was kind of hard, like break that habit. But we're like, I think we're all happier at the end of the day. Allowing, you know, just the unfolding of the day to be more just interaction with, you know, among the family and not getting in our own worlds on screens. So that's been helpful for us.
Yeah, I think for us, and, you know, looking back over the years, some of us up here are a little older than others, but it's been intentional. So Sunday in particular, you know, obviously there's church, you know, so setting the tone with church. Typically in the afternoon, you know, there would be a meal together always. And even as the kids grew and had other activities that they maybe needed to do or wanted to do, we maintained that pattern. When we were blessed before we came here, we actually lived for a few years in France. And the French culture is one that it's dead to the Lord, or not to the Lord, but they're not really aware. You know, very high, a lot of churches, a lot of stuff, but nobody really goes to church. But on Sundays, everything was closed for the most part. So there wasn't a lot of shopping. The stores that were open, other than the bread, the boulangerie, had to pay a penalty to be open. They paid a fee for it. It's probably not like that today. This was 25 plus years ago. But it got us in the habit of maybe going for a hike. So we were in the mountains. We could go out and go for a hike, do something together as a family. It also set a pattern for us that we maintained, you know, actually we probably, Marky and I still do it today to a high degree, but that was, Sunday night was kind of popcorn in a movie. So the whole day was spent together, really relaxing, enjoying one another's company. And you know, even as the kids went off to college or high school, we kind of figured we would lose that Sunday evening in particular. But what really surprised us was the kids would turn down stuff all the time. Nope, can't do Sunday night because that's popcorn night. And, you know, we loved it, but we didn't expect that to happen. And so just being intentional about it, I think, is the biggest thing in all that. So finding some things like that, that you can just set up a pattern and be intentional. You know, shutting off the electronics, that was less of a problem for us. But video games were, you know, that's, I mean, they were around when I was young. We had the Ataris and whatnot, and that just continues to get worse in a sense. So watch that one, that's a tough one. Be intentional.
So next one is for Marshall and Daniel. And what strategies do you use to ensure quality time with your wife despite busy schedules?
So what I didn't say earlier is that it's humbling to be here with y'all. I mean, it really is. So, like, I don't feel qualified to actually be here. So, like, I'd rather be speaking to your husbands. I feel like I would have a lot more to offer for your husbands. So, no, take everything I say with a grain of salt, please.
Or pass it off.
Or pass it off. Well, you need to be careful with that. Well, Marshall's at it. No. So, a word you're going to hear a lot today, of course, is intentionality. I mean, you have to be intentional. Quality time is not going to happen without being intentional. But I think about, you know, so many times we say, when I hit that next milestone, then I'll ... fill in the blank, right? But you know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And also, though, today is the day. We're not promised tomorrow. And so I would just really encourage you to you know, just take that, be very intentional about that quality time. And I would really mostly encourage your husbands to be very intentional about that quality time. And, you know, Eric said it best. I mean, your schedules are not busy. Your schedules are impossible at this stage of life. It's just, but it's not, I mean, but you still have to make sure that you know, carve out that time. A big fan of date nights, but like on the calendar. You know, so Julie and I share a calendar. So, I mean, just get that thing scheduled. Sit down, like, okay, during March, we're going to have a date night on the 17th, whatever. And put it on the calendar. Just do it. Stick to it. So, that's all.
From everything you said, Marshall, I'd say from the practical standpoint that my wife and I try to do is at the end of the month, we'll get together and we'll look at the following month that's coming up and we'll circle nights on the calendar. There's some nights, and I know my schedule's a little bit unique of where I'm working late, but we look and we try to circle on a calendar, on an actual like physical calendar. That's what works for us. In this month, these are the nights that we're purposely choosing to say no to things. And what that turns into is we could choose to have a date night out with that. We could choose to have a date night in. We could choose to have that night be a night of where when Ava goes to sleep, we're purposely spending time together doing something. So whether that's working out together, whether that's watching a movie together, whatever that might be, we try to set aside those specific nights, and very rarely will we ever cross that out for putting something in. But when we do, we make sure to choose that together. This was last year, we looked at our calendar, and the Lord convicted me because we had 23 out of the 30 nights booked with something. And inevitably, things happen in those other 7 nights. And so the Lord used that to help me think through, how do I strategize to spend that quality time together? And part of it is us getting together and saying, what are we going to choose to say no to? Because that is just as important, because then that opens up to say, what are we actually saying yes to? And my relationship with my wife comes before ministry. My relationship with my wife comes before my kids. And so I have to have that level of priority within my own heart to allow us then to look at the schedule and say, okay, what can we let go of and what can we keep? That's some practical things that we've done.
I'm going to jump ahead because I don't know if that segues into your question about do you have any ideas for out-of-the-box date nights, Daniel?
Yes. So when I think of date night, I'm the kind of person that thinks it has to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, then why should we do it? I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but that's me.
You're unique.
Well, right. And that means it never happens. And so my wife has been really great to say, hey, Daniel, it doesn't need to be like this big grand thing. It can be something so simple free. The point is it purposefully spending time with one another? And that can be in, that can be out. And I think we tend to, in our individualistic society, I know for me it's hard to ask for help from people. We don't have family that's around and close, and so sometimes that's a great blessing to be able to have that, just to drop kids off and go and do something, but not everybody has that. And so that's where the church is so precious, because there's a lot of people that I know, if you ask, would say, yes, we want to serve you in this way. Similarly, into your own heart, maybe towards others, if they just ask. So as far as out of the box like date nights go, there's been nights where we've purposely put a movie on in the basement while our girl's sleeping upstairs, and we've not taken our phones down with us. That's been one. We've had an out of the box date day, like on a Saturday, where we would go out on a hike and we'd bring Ava with us, because sometimes like this idea of like, oh, it just has to be us together. Not always. It can be you two choosing to do an activity. And I find that if I'm waiting until the next nap, like looking at the clock, I'm just like, oh, when's it coming? My own heart towards my own child is more godly when I say, you know, we're going to bring you and we're going to do this together. It might be hard, it might be difficult, and I know that you're at all different stages and parenting stages and life stages with your kids, so it might look different, but those are some of the thoughts that go through my head with that.
Awesome, thank you. This one is for Eric and Bob. What is the most supportive thing your wife does for you?
Yeah, so the lunchbox I take to work has a front pocket on it, and it is chock full of notes. And it changes my whole day. So she doesn't write a note for me every day, but when she does, it means a lot. And it could be, sometimes it's like just a single sentence. And she'll put it in my lunchbox. And she probably doesn't know how much it means to me. And I don't go on and on about it. But even just like the collection of those notes, like it's all, you know, different like post-it notes and note cards. And like just, it's like that thick in my, and I just don't throw them away. I just keep, you know, eventually I have to get a bigger lunchbox, but it's like I can like flip through those, so like verses on some of them, and like I, if I ever lose that thing in a fire, like it's a huge loss, because of what, there's just a special connection there, and she actually takes the time to do it, and I wish I was more like that, but it just, it means a lot to, if you think it doesn't mean a lot to men, it does. Simple notes.
But it sounds like they don't let their wives know, though.
they may not.
No, for me, there are a lot of things, but I'll say, sticking with the lunchbox thing, for 40, coming up on 43 years now, Marky has essentially made my lunch every day. So, you know, never, she just started doing it from day one. I don't know that, you know, that we talked about it or whatever, but she's made my lunch. I've taken my lunch, and with exceptions, of course, you know, all my 30 years at CAP, I bring my lunch here, and that's just been a huge blessing. You know, in some ways, it's a very minor thing, but to not have to even think about that or to think about it, you know, as I'm eating it. You know, there's a piece of dark chocolate in there every time. And so it's a very small thing in some ways, but it's super supportive and makes me think about it on a daily basis.
All right. So this one is for Eric and Bob. And what are some good strategies for spending meaningful, intentional time with your kids, especially as they get older?
So sometimes, so we got two girls and a boy, right? And for my boy, like, I don't really have to think about it. We're always doing stuff together. We're always building stuff and shooting or whatever. Like, there's common interests. So if you have that with, you know, some of your kids, that's great. You don't really have to be too intentional. But with my girls, I do. I have to think about it. So what makes it difficult is we don't have the same interests, right? But there's always you know, something that we can do that just to get time together. So for my youngest, we just started playing pickleball together. And turns out it's really fun. But it's something like, probably the drive there and back is probably even more memorable than actually playing the game. Because it's just her and I. It's something to look forward to. It's just her, like, that's our thing. So like, just finding a thing could be a really simple thing. I'm still kind of working on how to connect with Joelle, my oldest. She likes coffee, so like just trying to get like little coffee dates with her is really meaningful. But just trying to find like, just find a thing that you and your kids, you know, you and that child can do together. And it just, there's something special about like having just, that's your thing that you do. And that's like, for my oldest, it's really easy for Janae and her to connect, and they've got some things that they do. But I just have to, I have to be more intentional and think kind of outside the box for the ones that you don't naturally connect with. So, but just find a thing.
Yeah, I think, and you use the word intentional. Marshall said you'd hear it a lot. But, you know, do give thought to that individual kid. So as I look back over the years, you know, I mentioned the Sunday night. Now, that's what we did as a family. But all the kids, you know, we all enjoyed that. As we grew, now we had all boys, so that makes some things a little bit easier in that you can kind of focus on one thing. If it's boy, girl, it's a little harder. Just because of interests are different. But, you know, we did camping. You know, we did scouts with the boys, and I was one of the leaders. We'd do camping in that way. As the kids continued to grow, you know, middle school and then particularly high school, they were got into the marching band and things like that. So we participated in that, some ways from a distance. So we helped with the pit crew. But the kids were kind of out on the field. We were always there. We chaperoned all the time. We were, you know, probably two of the most consistent chaperones for both band as well as choir, and there were some other activities as well. But look at what each kid is interested in. Their interests do tend to spread out more as they get older. We did as, and we kind of did a senior trip or around their senior year with each individual kid. So where did they want to go? Now, Spencer, our youngest, was the most musically inclined of the three. We ended up going to New York for a week and saw like half a dozen musicals while we were there. And just the two of us, Marky and I, hung out with him for that week. And so yeah, the intentionality, be sure you're thinking about it, and in a sense, I'll say loosely planning it, you know, because you got to be a little flexible sometimes, both in timing as well as what the event is. You know, today, I'm talking about trying to do some camping and whatnot with the grandkids and their dads starting this year. They're getting about the age where probably will be survivable. I took the three boys up on Mount Lemmon in Tucson by myself years ago. Spencer was potty training. Didn't think about trying to potty train the kid with an outhouse at best up on the mountain by myself. It worked.
The next one is for Daniel and Marshall. What specific ways would you recommend wives to be regularly praying for their husbands?
So when I hear that question, I think of Matthew 7, verse 5 and 6. And scripture says that we have, each one of us has a log in our eye. And the person that we're looking at has the speck. And then the end of that passage says that take the log out of your own eye so that then you can see clearly the speck that's in the other person's. That's where I like to start for myself. Because often when I'm thinking about the things that I want to pray for my wife, my prayers change after I think about them. Also, a side note, there's so many like practical things that we hope will be helpful for you today, but I don't want you to leave here thinking, I have to do more, I have to be better, I have to do this. There is gospel grace. And where you might feel lacking, God's grace is sufficient to meet you there. But ways that I would suggest for you to regularly be praying for your husbands is to pray that for yourself, that the Holy Spirit is a better convictor of sin than you are. It doesn't mean that you don't share ways that you are praying for your husband, but I would suggest that if you've shared that once, or maybe at most twice, what you're praying for him for, he'll remember. And it's the Holy Spirit and Christ that care more about your husband than you do. And oftentimes I found that my wife shares with me ways that her prayers have changed for me when she's asked the Spirit to say, what do you want to do in my husband? After asking, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in me? So pray prayers that are saturated with what God wants for your husband, not what you want. Oftentimes your and my image of our spouse is just that, is our image and not God's.
Okay, so I'm going to go a little bit differently. Not all of you are fortunate enough to be married to someone who works in ministry. So, like some of these guys work in the church or work in ministry, and some of your husbands do too. But one of my go-to lines, and it won't surprise probably a lot of your husbands, but I say that the world of men is a terrible place. And it really is. I mean, unless you, hopefully it's not at this workplace, but I mean, but honestly, I mean, like, I hope you all don't, honestly, I hope you don't know how bad men really can be. I mean, because honestly, men are depraved. And so if your husband doesn't work in a godly atmosphere, then I would strongly encourage you to pray against those forces that are coming at him every day from every direction at every minute. Like, it's war. It really is. And I don't want to, I mean, I'm trying to be absolutely blunt as I can be, because the devil wants to ruin your husband. He wants to ruin your family, and he wants to ruin your children, flat out. So I would just absolutely strongly encourage you just to pray against those forces that are out to attack you and him.
I feel like I've got to throw something in for free here, too. It brought to mind, it's really good, Marshall, you shared that. We as men are bombarded daily in the workplace with lots of forces that are against us. And giving your husband permission to share some of the things that he's struggling with is a big, big deal, so that you can specifically pray for him. I'm glad that I work in the field of engineering, where it's probably toned down a little bit. Some of your husbands may not be so fortunate, but it's even in the halls of Caterpillar, there's just a lot of, it's like you just walk down the hallway and it's like, oh, this is, I have to avert my eyes, right? So there's, it's really precious that, just knowing that it's not a threat to my wife to be able to share with her, like, I need you to pray for me to be able to continue to preach to myself and not let thoughts go in a certain direction when you're bombarded with temptation. So.
Okay, this one is for Eric and Bob. As a couple, our friendships tend to be with other couples, and the friendships are usually managed by the women with the group hangouts. So how can I encourage my husband to find a mentor or
mentor or group of good Christian guy friends?
Yeah, Marky and I actually talked a little bit about this, just, I'll say generically, in a sense, and, you know, dating is hard, right? Finding that right person, finding when you click. For couples to effectively date, you've got a four-way thing going there, and yeah, it's super hard to find a couple that all four of you get along. I would almost discourage you, I don't want to say discourage you to try to do that, but don't put too much in it. It's just going to need to happen. Now, having said that, there are, you know, things that we might do to help, like, not take it all too seriously. You know, I don't need to find my best friend in, you know, the wife, or the husband, rather, of Marky's best friend. Might be the case, but it doesn't need to be the case. So don't hold that too tightly. Relative to kind of the question, how can you encourage husband to find a mentor? You know, certainly be praying for that. And again, you might let him know that you're praying for it. You might not. But that doesn't mean you're not diligently praying for it. We have, you know, here the community groups that allow at least exposure to other couples, other men for the guy. We have things like the Anvil. There's a group of us that are going tomorrow up to Chicago Auto Show. Now, does that mean we'll walk out as best friends, all of us? You know, some of the guys, I know everybody that's going. Some of the folks that are going, I'm good friends with. But, you know, I will have an opportunity during that day to get to know somebody, to get to know all of them, actually. It's a fairly small group in this case. There was a group that went last night, out to dinner. And again, that's some men just went to Jonah's for dinner. So the conversations happen, and it may result in another follow-on opportunity. You know, I've grabbed coffee with, maybe not you, but I think with these two guys I know. And I have to work with them. But, you know, just encourage them, just if you like somebody, you know, I kind of like Eric. You know, maybe just grab coffee and get to know him a little bit. Again, that could develop into something. It may or may not. I mean, I think we've got a good friendship. Now, in this case, we're all, you know, related relative to elder roles or staff roles here. So we know each other. We have opportunity to see each other. That may not be the case that you're starting with. But be praying for them. Encourage them to just get to know people. Marshall and I were talking, Eric and I were talking a little bit earlier. But I'm not a sports person. A lot of guys are. So, but finding somebody that has similar interests, and you're going to discover it, right? It's not like you walk around with a badge on that says, well, some people do, you know, the things I like. Yeah, sports teams. But, you know, find somebody who at least there's some connection on those things. You know, for me, I'm happy to participate or stand and listen to a sports conversation. I'm not going to have anything to offer, honestly. So longer term, that relationship's, it's not going to go deep on that premise. It's going to need to be something else. So finding common points.
Yeah, I mean, we know from Scripture, right, isolation does not go well for us, especially as men. It's just, so spiritual friendship is vital. And we know that, you know, we know we need that, but for men it's really hard to go out and take risks and actually be vulnerable. But as women, as wives, you know, you might think about, I mean, it's a huge sacrifice for you, but, you know, looking for ways to actually make it possible for guys to get together, and especially at this stage of life, like, it's quite a loss. Because, like, we're not that useful, but it does help a little bit. and so, it just, you know, when they're if you learn of opportunities, if you, you know, you see that there's, you know, with godly men, there's an opportunity to actually do something, go on a snowmobile trip or go to a game or go to the range or whatever, like do, we have to do something together. And we can't command relationships to form, but there has to be opportunities. And so if there's a way, in all of your copious free time, to just, yeah, allow that. And say, I know it's just saying that, it sounds silly because it's just such a huge sacrifice. But looking back, like, you know, those things are just vital. Like, we have such good memories of camping. Is something that, you know, we often do with another family. And though, you know, there's like serious organic time together. And that has often resulted in real friendship, which again, you can't command or manufacture, but you do have to actually have time together. And we men really stink at that. So just think creatively about how you can not manipulate, but to help give opportunities for your husband to actually have time with other young men.
All right, well, we are running out of time, so I had to skip some questions, but I wanted to make sure that you all had a chance to share if there was any wisdom or anything that you thought of that you would like to share and leave with us. It hasn't been said yet.
I'm not shy. So one of the questions that I thought about for a little while was the whole question of how does your wife make you feel loved? One thing I would caution, and I don't bring the advice to y'all lightly. Believe me, I don't. But one thing that Julie and I committed to early on is that outside of our relationship with Christ, she's my number one and I'm her number one. And it's hard when you've got this little soul that is completely dependent on you and requires all of your time. And I know this is nothing that you don't know, but like if you can just remember that no matter what, like he's your guy, you know, and just those, you know, whatever his love language is, which is going to be probably different for everybody, but, you know, figure out what that is and just really speak into that. And then you guys' advice on you know, men's relationship, those were really big things right there. If you just listen to those two things right there to encourage your husband to get into a group with other guys, that would be huge. Anyway, yeah, that's all.
Yeah, I'll touch on one that you know, it's just kind of a short comment, but one of the questions is who's been influential in your parenting journey and why? And I'm going to give kind of a standard answer, but not for the reason you think, and that is my parents. They've been very influential because they set really poor examples. And so what I learned from them was what not to do. And, you know, it's been super valuable because I can look at those things and go, okay, I need to find something, you know, what's the opposite of that? What's a better example? And, you know, use that. Just because you may have had some rough situations with parents, you might have been blessed with fantastic things. But if it's been rough, that doesn't mean you don't have an example. It's just what do you do with that example. So.
There was one question that I wanted to mention. Communication habits. What are some communication habits that have significantly strengthened your relationship with your wife? We've only been married 6 years, so nowhere near as long as these other guys have. But early on in our marriage, we wanted to set a path forward of being unified about how we ask for forgiveness, how we say that we're sorry, what kinds of communications are not acceptable in our marriage. There are things in which, just to talk about your point, there were some things that my parents did really well, and there were some things that I would want to do different than how they communicated to us and to each other. And so being unified on what is acceptable and what is not, then if that is breached, being able to refer back to say, hey, I thought that this is how we wanted our marriage to operate. One last thing on forgiveness. I grew up in a household where we just said sorry, and that was enough. And as far as parenting goes, you can't affect repentance in your kids. You can pray for that, but you cannot bring that about. That's the work of the Spirit. But at the same time, you can encourage the habits of what asking for forgiveness looks like. And so early on in our marriage, it felt kind of wooden. It's like, I've never done this before. I've never said, like, hey, I'm sorry for doing this to you. I sinned against you when I said this. And then for forgiveness to say, I forgive you. This is how this made me feel, but I forgive you for this. Naming very specifically those things instead of living in ambiguity is helpful for both clarity's sake, but then also for you to be able to reconcile together. So if you'll sin against each other, you will be sinned against. And so just to encourage a unified response about what we're striving for when that happens.
Yeah, do I have time for one more quick thing? Okay, so thank you guys so much. This is a really precious group. And in a group this size, I'm under no illusion that some of you may not be in a healthy marriage, or maybe not in marriage at all. And I just want to encourage you, if you're not in a marriage that you are being led in a healthy way, you're not less than, and I just want to encourage you to continue to follow Jesus. He is enough, okay? As sad as it is, and I know the suffering is deep, I'm encouraged that, you know, surround yourself with godly women and make yourself known and receive the care within the Church of Christ. And don't let that, don't compare yourself to other couples, okay? Your situation is unique. The Lord loves you, and He has a path of blessing for you, regardless of what men choose to do. Don't fall prey to manipulation. Don't fall prey to speaking poorly of your husband. Pray for him. Be faithful and let your situation be known to the Lord and lean into these ladies. And just know that you're loved. You're really loved. And you're doing the most important work in the world. Okay?
Thank you so much, guys. Can we thank these men for being with us?